Happy Friday and welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and what a week it's been in the Bravo sphere. It's kind of ironic that just 2 weeks ago, I had a whole episode about this era of the Real Housewives cast shakeup, where we discussed the fact that this franchise is in a bit of a lull as a few shows continue filming or figure out their casts or take extended hiatuses. And then comes one of the biggest news days for Bravo in recent memory, where we get a ton of updates on casting and the personal lives of some of the housewives that got so many people talking. I won't rehash everything that happened because I addressed all of that on Tuesday's mailbag episode. So go back and listen to that if you want my initial takes on all of the news that broke on Monday. But I am going to get into some of the updates on that news before jumping into the meat of today's episode, which is an end of season deep dive about the Real Housewives of Potomac season 8, which just wrapped with part 3 of its reunion on Sunday night. So first off, Alexia posted on her Instagram story thanking everyone for the outpouring of love since the news broke that her husband, Todd, had blindsided her by filing for divorce at the end of last week. Marisol also discussed the shocking news on their joint podcast, I Por Favor, which Alexia did not appear on this week. But Marisol said, "We're all a little shocked and it's not a good day for her to be here and participate. What can I say? I'm completely taken by surprise. I mean, I didn't see this coming. It rips my heart apart because I can only put myself in her shoes and know how hard this must be for her. We all have that dream of being in love and then we find a partner and we have that fantasy of the perfect life. And then reality hits sometimes, and it's not what we thought it was going to be. Today, we all got a big cold dose of reality. Things don't always turn out the way we had planned, and I'm very sorry for her. As am I. We're sending love to Alexia because this can't be easy for her." The other update is from Crystal's announcement that she's leaving the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Anna Marie, who had already announced her firing, took to Twitter, where she tweeted several times to her less than 700 followers, trying to dunk on Crystal. Then she got in a feud with a Twitter account that she thought was Crystal herself, but it turns out is actually a troll account pretending to be Crystal. Crystal herself does not have a Twitter account. So yeah, nice try. I went ahead and preemptively blocked Anna Marie on Twitter, actually, because I didn't like where the tweets were going. She was responding to people asking about the rape allegations against her husband, talking about vaguely political things, and it just felt very like MAGA territory. It felt icky, and I just didn't like where it was going, so blocked. Getting ahead of it, blocked. I just didn't really believe a word that she ever kind of said. She is clearly on a mission to reclaim her narrative after her flop of a season on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but it's in a very dark way that I, for one, will not be supporting. So if me taking that stance against Anna Marie means that she'll never come on this podcast, then that's a hit I'm willing to take, to be honest. And then there's the news that Deadline first reported the other day that the fashion designer Rebecca Minkoff will be joining the Real Housewives of New York City next season. Page Six later confirmed that she has been filming with the cast in recent weeks since cameras picked back up for the rebooted cast second season of Roni. It's unclear right now whether she'll just be like a recurring guest or a friend of or a full-time housewife, but regardless, I'm intrigued and excited by the news. I wasn't initially aware that she's an apparent Scientologist. And not just a Scientologist, but somebody who's been very outspoken and open about that fact, which is kind of rare for a famous Scientologist. But yeah, she's very open about the fact that she's part of that cult. Yes, cult. And she apparently actually credits another famous Scientologist, Jenna Elfman, wearing one of her shirts with helping to kickstart her brand over 2 decades ago. All of that information is out there. You can do your own research, but that's sort of what popped up into my feed since that news broke. And there are already a lot of people who are upset that a Scientologist will be given the platform. But I'm not going to make a judgment call on this until we see this season, because honestly, this is a layup of an opportunity for the rest of the women on the cast. Here's a chance to take it to an established figure coming into their space, onto their territory, and question her about something problematic from her life. If that doesn't happen, then I'll have some questions then. But a detail buried in Page Six's story about this gives me hope. They report that, quote, "A photograph of Minkoff posing at her LA store opening in 2015 with fellow Scientologist, That 70s Show star Danny Masterson, who is now serving time for rape, is already being texted among show insiders." So chances are the women are already on it. Have some faith. This, coupled with the opportunity to question Jenna on why she gets preferential treatment to protect her relationship and not on the show. And this cast has a lot to work with on making their sophomore season one to remember. So let's hope they lean in. And by the way, I was actually sitting at brunch on Sunday on a gorgeous day in Soho with some friends, drinking some wine, living my best life. And I look up and I saw Jenna Lyons and her girlfriend, Cass Bird, taking a stroll together. File that under things that you will see in real life, but not on Roni. Okay, so now for the real reason for today's episode of Gabbing with Gib. While I can't promise these kind of episodes every time a season of a Bravo show ends, I do like doing end-of-season deep dives with other experts in this space. So since The Real Housewives of Potomac Season 8 just finished airing its three-part reunion on Sunday night, an occasion which marked, by the way, the first time since Obama was president that zero housewives are airing at all. So shout out to Betches for posting that fact on Instagram. It just kind of blew my mind. It's really wild. What a run. That's over 12 years of at least one Housewives franchise on. Anyway, I wanted to take a look at the tough season that Potomac had, unpack why it failed to deliver, talk about the recent announcements about cast members not coming back for season 9, and then discuss what the next season should look like to get us back on track with one of what I think is one of the best franchises out there. So I invited Kendrick Tucker, who is the host of the podcast Reality and Comics 2, onto the show today to answer all those questions and more. Kendrick is fucking hilarious. He had me in stitches, and he also knows his shit. And it's actually an extra treat that he's on here today talking about Potomac because he's been avoiding talking about the show publicly all season. So we're really getting his hot takes today. Keep listening for my Real Housewives of Potomac Season 8 End of Season Deep Dive with Kendrick Tucker. And please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to Gab Me with Gib wherever you're listening to this show right now. Enjoy the episode and come back on Tuesday for my interview with Jesse Solomon from Summer House. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Kendrick Tucker of the podcast Reality and Comics 2, a show that I've been privileged to be on before. So now it's time to repay the favor. Kendrick is hilarious and is one of the most engaging entertainment hosts in this Bravo podcast space. So I'm thrilled to have him on the show today to do sort of like a post-season deep dive on The Real Housewives of Potomac. After the events of this week, we have a lot to discuss. Kendrick, thanks for being here. How's it going?
Oh, you just said a mouthful. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Thank you for coming on to mine. It was like you were one of my gets. I was like, I have to get Gibson John on here. It was necessary. So I've been like following you, and I love everything you do. I love the interviews. Every time, like, I love like hearing my Married to Medicine girls getting a platform to talk about the show and just everything. You're amazing. So I just want to know. I want to give you your flowers while you're here.
I appreciate
enough it. Enough of us don't get our flowers while we're here. So thank you for having me. I'm excited. And listen, you're a special person because almost no one could get me to talk about Potomac this year. So you are a special breed.
Okay? I feel honored then. I feel very honored.
I have been dodging the internet. I've been dodging everybody. I'm like, nope, not doing it. Sorry. Nope. Can't do it.
Can you explain why?
Yes, I can. Oh, yeah, boy.
Let's get into it.
Potomac, I want everyone to know, Potomac, once upon a time, was my baby. You could not tell me a bad thing about Potomac.
Same here.
Seasons 3 and 4, 4 in particular, because 4 will always go down as probably one of my favorite Housewives seasons of all time. That was when, we're in your mama's house, the house your mama paid for, and the butter knife, the clinkety clink, don't drop the soap. What a season. Like, that season just like has banger after banger after banger. And I think around season 3, season 4 is when I was on this campaign of, I need to get everybody in the world to watch this show. Like, I was one of those people constantly shouting from the rooftop.
Same here. Don't sleep on Potomac. Right?
Yeah. Yes, every single week. But then what I didn't know was people were going to start watching because we were at home during the pandemic and season 5 was going to happen. And that really changed not only the cast, but it changed the fan base too. And watching Potomac is almost like, it's the comparison that I hate to make so much, but it's so true now. It's almost like watching New Jersey in the sense that after every episode, you're like, okay, I'm going to go watch a Disney movie to cleanse my palate because that was entirely too much. Seeing the commentary online, entirely too much. Everything is just almost an energy suck. And it's just like, I need something to help me cleanse my spirit after experiencing this. When it used to be just, I'm tuning in on Sunday and I'm going to laugh for a solid hour on Bravo. And then you get Married to Medicine behind it. Oh
game over.
That's off the table. That's a Sunday right there. But right now it's just, I need to see what they do in off season for me to be interested in season 9.
I agree with you that season five is where the shift happened with Potomac, where it became divided. It became that there was, you know, were you team Monique or team Candace? And then when Monique left, it was sort of like, are you team Candace or team Green-Eyed Bandit? So it was kind of like, and there was no room for gray area. I agree. Like the fan base changed a lot and we were laughing less with this show. And so, and I do think that, like, you know, six especially was a fairly solid season. Seven wasn't as much giving, but like by the time we got to this past season, season eight, the show was broken. And I think nobody, I think, would deny that. You know, when we were scheduling this recording, Kendrick, you told me like you had fallen off Potomac. And I'm curious, was that just for this season that you just really couldn't get yourself to like watch it like right after it aired or when it aired? Was this the season that you really kind of felt disconnected from it in a big way?
It was, because I don't know if the beginning of the season was just so unlike Potomac that I couldn't finish, but everything was about, one, the fandom commentary online is all, which always drives me crazy. So I just,
you gotta tap out of that.
I have, you have to. And I'm trying to teach myself again, because I feel like I knew that lesson, but then jump back into it. So I'm like, no more engaging online at all. But I feel like the beginning of the season was so weird, because it was like, oh, Candace is on the show, but Candace in five episodes hasn't filmed a single scene with the group. It's like, oh, we're going to be talking about Juan and Robin this entire season. We're going to drag this out. Oh, they still are trying to block out. It seems like every angle to me was like, I don't know if I care about this. And then I also feel like a few things have happened over the years. One thing is, those that know my podcast know I am a, oh God, they know my taste in housewives. I like mess. So like, I am a Green-Eyed Bandit, Kenya Moore. Like,
okay. Yeah, I get it.
I hate me some Dr. Heavenly, but I love me some Dr. Heavenly.
So how could you not love Dr. Heavenly?
Right. Please. It's like, God, I don't, that's my brand of housewife. So I'm just, you know, but it seemed like Ashley Darby was one of those people for me. And I felt like one of the reasons the show got a little sleepy is because she got in tune with like trying to be, I don't know if it was trying to be better received by some of the fandom or what it was, but like messy Ashley wasn't in play anymore. And it's like, I don't know if that person is ever going to like really come back. Like, I guess we saw it a little bit this season, but like, that's another thing. Cause I feel like what she was involved in was so like, I don't want to touch this. Like the NECA versus Wendy. Thing. Yeah. It got so like, I don't know if I want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. So it's almost like that was like the final straw for me being like, I'll check back in next season and see what y'all do.
Right. Yeah. And I also think a difference for Ashley is that for so long she had Michael, who was like built in mess for her, like in her home. It was always messy. There was always something going on. There were always questions about what he was up to. And then once they got divorced, like he clearly wanted nothing to do with the show. Like he wouldn't even go on FaceTime on camera. And so it was sort of like, and like there are legal things at play now. So it's, I think that maybe affects how she locks into the show now, because I don't know if she, maybe she knows that she can't talk about a lot of things in her personal life right now, or like, I don't know how that all adds up, but I feel like it's all connected somehow with Ashley. And I agree that that's a missing element.
I definitely think that I say all the time, and I feel so like icky saying it too, but I feel like Michael Darby, like once he kind of took his exit, that also played a big role into like the show changing. Not necessarily because we need gross Michael, like we don't need Michael Darby, like, but the girls, like as much as they like hated each other, wanted to go at it, they had a common enemy for six seasons. They don't have that anymore. So now when you lose the common enemy, see, I always tell people on reality TV, when you lose your big bad, when Thanos leaves the picture, you start infighting. And now it's like so divided that nobody wants to even fight with each other anymore. We just want to ignore each other. And it's like, what show is this? Like, what are we going to do with this?
I didn't think about that in terms of the common enemy thing. And that's a really, really good point, because I just and it also sort of complicated the sort of alliance between Giselle, Robin and Ashley, because Giselle and Robin still kind of would come up against Michael and they would question that because they were doing their job. So I think it kind of cleaned up the division in the cast by taking him out, which isn't a good thing, I don't think.
Right.
And you mentioned, Kendrick, you mentioned the Robin Juan stuff. And that was supposed to, again, remember that trailer where the house flips upside down and it's like Robin and Juan. And it's just like, it's the trailer is so them forward. And then we get into the season where this should be the primary storyline. We should be talking about this. They should be talking about like owning it and, you know, apologizing for not being upfront about it and all these things. But then we get into the season and it seems like Robin doesn't understand why people were upset about it. She can't really bring herself to like deliver the apology that everyone else wants from her. Juan is not playing ball at all. He nope. hates filming. He is not down. He's not helping Robin's case at all. And so then we kind of lose our central story. The central storyline doesn't, it kind of stops delivering before it even starts delivering. You know what I mean? Like exactly. it never gave what it should have given. So what did you make of like all of that? And I feel like that took some of the air out of the season going into it.
Definitely. It's kind of two things at play. Everything you just said, because, you know, we didn't really get to focus on that at all. And I think that everybody on the cast was banking yes, on that being exactly. the biggest kind of thing. And so like no one, you know, there used to be a day where like people would kind of come in like, okay, I need to maybe have this to talk about this season. I need this. I need, you know, the quote unquote storyline for like a better lack of the word. But I feel like when there's such a big scandal that happens in off season, people kind of don't do that part of it, and they kind of come in just saying, okay, well, we got this to focus on. I don't need to do anything, any talking about my personal life. I've got you. I'm going to focus on you. Let's make your life hell for these 3 months, and then I'm going to go on about my business. But they didn't really give them that. And people that have been watching this show since the beginning, I know a lot of newer people, you know, kind of say like Juan's deflecting, he's not wanting to talk on camera and all kind of stuff. Most of us know that he's never participated right. on the show like that.
That's true.
So like, that wasn't weird to me, but I thought that maybe they would have forced him to, you know, play ball a little more. Like, okay, maybe we need to offer him a little check, or I don't know what behind the scenes looks like, or maybe we need to get Robin to make him play ball to
incentivize him somehow. Yeah,
exactly. Or even her, because like it's like, okay, well, what do we need to do to get you to make him talk about this stuff? Because you can tell she really does, like, her and Giselle understand reality TV.
I agree.
So like she tries to get him to like play ball a lot of the times, but I cringe when she has to make a phone call to him, because I'm like, oh no, how is this gonna go?
That one on the Austin trip was really tough to watch. I know.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I always, every time she gets on the phone with him, I'm just like, I don't know how this is gonna go. You know, he hates being recorded, he hates being asked about all this stuff over and over again. And it's that same thing, like Michael Darby, funny enough, when Ashley would ask him, like, he would actually talk about
it, which engage.
Was right. And it was so weird because most of his stuff was like legal, like actual legal battles and like all this stuff going on, but Juan just like has no interest like actually engaging in this conversation at all.
I know. And it's tough because it's like, you know, when you step out of the show, it's like, well, this is their primary source of income, this show. And right. by now Robin's making really good money on this show. And
yeah.
then, and he, as we know, doesn't have a job anymore, at least within this, when the cameras are rolling. Now we know that she's not coming back to the show. So it's sort of like, dude, like you probably should have engaged a little more and maybe given yeah. your wife something more to work with. Because again, it was sort of a layup for them. They had it right there, you know? And
right.
I don't know. I agree that
she was center flute this season.
Literally. I mean, she had the primary storyline on a platter, you know, mm-hmm. and not necessarily entirely by her own doing. The bag was fumbled. And yeah. it was just disappointing. So then you have Candace, who's coming off a season where she feels as though, you know, everyone else crossed a line with her and Chris by making these accusations and putting them at the center and kind of trying to take down their marriage. And so she comes into this season being very apprehensive. You can tell she's kind of like mm-hmm. a little bit checked out the entire time. I think like right. she had her moments, but I think overall we got a different Candace this season. You know, she was never going to trust Giselle again. She had a chance to move forward with Robin, but she stormed out of that coffee. I think they had that one coffee mid-season where it ended really quickly. And that was yeah. a moment where I think that I wish she had stayed for another 10 minutes to like just mm-hmm. hear Robin out and try to see eye to eye and like move forward with her. That right. didn't work. What did you pick up on how Candace was moving this season? And then obviously it leads to the news that she's not coming back. But in season, what were you thinking?
I didn't know initially how Candace exited the show. I didn't know if it was a firing or if it was I'm actually leaving. Now I genuinely do believe that like she wanted to prioritize like getting pregnant and not being on yeah. the show around that energy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she kind of like got ahead of any decision that production would have made about her kind of thing, which is very smart of her. I
absolutely. And I think that watching this show this season, she made the right decision, because I thought that going forward, I thought the network was going to have to make some big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, it seemed like it was both sides saying, I'm not interested in moving forward. And if that's the case, then we got to take our players from both sides. Like, I know Candace has become like a fan favorite, but I would have been, if I were making network decisions, it would have been Candace, let's go. It would have been, I hate to separate my green-eyed bandits, but I would have had to get rid of one of my green-eyed bandits just for the sake of,
I agree, to mix it up.
Shaking up. Well, I used to say that just keep my four OGs and put four new girls around them to see how that works out. But now I'm like, okay, let me be practical, because Mia definitely staying, like the best thing about this season. Like, my God, I want all of that storyline. I don't care what y'all give. Plus, she somehow has become the funniest person on the show.
And I know. She's giving us storyline and the humor. She's giving and the emotion. Like, she's really delivering on all cylinders. And the shade. Yes.
So good. So I'm like, okay. So at this point, you know, keep Giselle, keep Mia, keep Karen. Everyone else, I was like, I don't know. I can see like the network going either way. I honestly wouldn't be upset if they, I won't necessarily say make her a full time, but if they want to see what Kiana could do on a, you know, longer scale, I could see that happening and her turning her, you know, whatever into a flute. And I can see that. And then just add some new people, because I think that y'all know online, I'm a Robin apologist. I love me some Robin Dixon. But I'm actually really interested to see Giselle alone on the show, like without, you know, because they're one of the few Bravo friendships that stood the test of time. Normally when two people come in, best friends, dynamic duo, usually by season two, they're on the outs,
yeah,
a la Mariah and Quad, you know? So normally they go
that part,
you know, entirely different ways, but they have really like clearly friends, business partners, like everything on there. So I'm interested to see what her dynamic will be with everyone else. People like say a lot about Giselle. I don't give a lot of credence to that kind of stuff. I just think Giselle is a mean girl. And that's one of the things I love about her. Not like a like nasty girl, but like a mean girl. That's just her, like her whole life she's been pretty and she's been told this and that. And I think it's just created that kind of I'm a mean girl mentality. And I think that's where a lot of her like issues with other people kind of stems from, because she kind of needs that kiss the ring mentality. And I think that, you know, a lot of these women are going to be like, I'm not kissing. So like, that's what causes a lot of her issues with the people. So I'm interested in seeing that dynamic. But Candace, I don't know. I don't, watching this season, I wouldn't have necessarily pictured her on season 9.
I agree. And it had to be Candace or Giselle. And I think that Candace, I'm glad that she made the decision for them. And
yeah,
and I think that probably Candace saw one, I'm growing my family again, like you said, sort of take that energy, take the show energy around out from my home life for right now. I think that she'll come back in a couple seasons. I really do think that. And I think that she probably sees that, like, maybe just let Giselle ride out the rest of her time on the show, whether that is a couple more seasons or I don't really know. But to me, that's sort of probably what the setup, if you're thinking several steps ahead, I think I kind of think that's what it looks like. And I agree. I think that Robin was the right person to take out of the Green Eyed Bandits duo, just because, like, I think Giselle makes the moves happen more on the show. And I think that she got a little bit too dependent on Robin to be producer, her built-in ally. Yeah, exactly. And Giselle's a great housewife. What does she do if you take that crutch out? I think she'll swim. I don't think she'll sink. I think that she'll find a way. But I want to see her scramble just a little bit, you know, because you know that she'll figure it out, because she's really good at her job. And so that's kind of, I'm sort of in agreement with you on that. The other, I guess, blockage, I guess, for Giselle, though, is the Wendy of it all. It's sort of like, those two don't even like look each other in the eye. Like, they can't even, you know, it's a little uglier between Candace and Giselle. But Giselle and Wendy, the energy of that dynamic just, it doesn't work for me. I don't love that dynamic at all. Like, it's just, they don't want to give each other the time of day.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, I want to know.
I think Giselle and Wendy, y'all gonna shoot me, I think they're a lot more alike than people will give them credit for. Like, I actually think that's the reason they butt heads. AKAs used to being the baddest, and you know, the Divine Nine, they are not. I genuinely expected them to be like the best of friends. I hate that it ended so nastily on that cast trip, but let me ask you, how do you kind of see Wendy on this show? Like, do you see her? When I was watching the season, it was one, okay, she only moved forward with Mia because she wanted to deflect from,
right,
you know, engaging with NECA. She wouldn't move forward with NECA. She wouldn't move forward with Giselle. And then Andy comes into the reunion saying, okay, well, we need to have some resolution so we can have a good season 9. So in my mind, I was like, oh, well, if Wendy doesn't want to make up with anybody, that means that the network is going to get rid of her. So how do you kind of, I guess,
I know,
see her on this show? Do you see her coming back for another season, like now that Candace is gone, or what do you think?
I mean, with Candace out, I don't know who Wendy's ally is. I don't know what, yeah, I don't know what Wendy's connection to the rest of the women really is. Her and Karen have a nice friendship, but it's not like some strong, big connection. I love how Wendy operated in her first season. And I feel, yes, like she has changed her demeanor and how she carries herself on the show a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily in a negative way. I just feel like you said, I wish that she would just be a little, she would budge a little more. I wish that she would be a little bit less stuck in the mud with her, with how she thinks about people and how she's thinking about certain dynamics. It's like,
mm-hmm,
to be a really amazing housewife, you have to be fluid. You have to be resolving conflict. You have to move forward. And Wendy doesn't love to do that. And so, right, either it has to take like a really frank conversation with production, because Wendy like, mm-hmm, has a lot of star power and she has a lot going for her. But in terms of how she operates within the cast, she has to change her ways. I really do think that. Otherwise, if she's not willing to do that, I don't know. It seems like it has to be a spot for somebody else if she's not willing to do that, you know?
Wendy, for me, is always, she strikes me as the cast member now, and it's the kind of reality star. I think that's why I struggle with Wendy so much. She strikes me as the type of reality star that kind of like gets on my last nerve, in the sense that they're the person that's always like on social media reading the, yeah, comments and shaping their on-screen personality.
Playing to the fans.
Exactly. And I'm just like, see, that's one thing. Like, I keep coming back to Giselle, but like, people like speak so nastily about her online, but that's one of the things I really respect about her, is that she doesn't care what anybody says about her online.
Totally.
She's always gonna just be messy ass Giselle and stir the pot and do whatever she needs to attempt to at least like make a good show. But there are so many other, like, not just like Exclusive Potomac, but in all these shows, like, look at the comments. They're like, okay, well, I need to do this. They hate this person, so I'm going to constantly attack this person. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we will never see, or it'll be hard to see, resolve between Wendy and Giselle, specifically because I think Wendy knows that the general fan base might respect Giselle as the messy like pot stirrer, but like dislikes, you know, the person they love to hate. They love to hate Giselle. And I think that Wendy knows that, and she's not going to necessarily change that, because that gets her like automatic brownie points in a way.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard, because I think that for the past 5 years, the most active, mm-hmm, person on Twitter, at least, which I think drives a lot of the conversation in terms of the immediate commentary, mm-hmm, has been Candace.
Yes.
And we know that Candace, as Andy said, can be a disaster on Twitter. She, mm-hmm, she lets it fly. I think she's gotten better in recent years of like honing it in and really kind of like being better about choosing her words. But, you know, I think that she's part of the reason why the online community is so in her corner, because she's in that space. She's operating,
yes,
on Twitter. And so like, that is sort of, I think, a little bit why the internet is so anti Giselle, anti Green Eyed Bandit, anti these people, because Candace is right in there with everybody. And that's, she played it very smart. And I agree that I think that Wendy has the fan opinion in her head too much. I think that affects, mm-hmm, what she does. And then the whole thing with NECA, just like, again, she was so unwilling to move forward at all with her. And
yeah,
it definitely helped torpedo NECA's time on the show, because I think the hole that NECA found herself in was too big to crawl out of. It was too,
yeah,
big to dig herself back out of. So I don't know. I mean, like, that's a tough one.
Well, let me ask you, because I'm acting like this is my podcast and I'm hosting right now.
No, this is what it's about, the conversation.
I'm curious what you think about the rumors that NECA's been fired, because,
yeah,
I kind of hate one thing you'll know about me is that I hate a one season housewife. I think that most housewives are going to be a little like we're not going to get the real person in the first season.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it takes at least two for us to really figure out, okay, is this somebody we can give a 2-year contract? You know, it's somebody we can see like going long distance. And I hate like cutting somebody off just because they come on and aren't necessarily like the best. One example I always use is like, I know people like, you know, are split about Crystal and Beverly Hills. I love Crystal.
Me too.
And I think that she only got better every single season.
100%.
She really learned how to be a housewife. And sometimes that's what you need. Like you know, if they're not taken away from the show, then give them a little time to grow at least. Like if they've got everything, NECA has the bank account, NECA has the fashions, NECA has like she will get with, like she's not gonna let you punk her. Like she has all the makings of a great housewife. And I think that because her initial storyline was centered around something so mm-hmm. taboo, it really hurt her chances of like connecting with the audience. I do like seeing that a lot of people have come around to NECA, but if the rumors are true, I would hate that she didn't get a second season, because I think she would have been, you know, especially if you're going to clean up the cast right now, I think she would have been a great one to see how they progressed. But
I know it's like Crystal's a great example, Mia's a great example of people mm-hmm. that really came into their own towards the end of their third season, honestly.
Yes.
And like that's why I'm upset that Crystal hasn't gotten another chance for another season, because
I'm hurt.
You know, me again, like Mia is sort of, I think, the future of Potomac. Like she, at least if she keeps going in this capacity, like she has mm-hmm. in the back half of the season and on the reunion, you know, I agree about NECA. I'm not like heartbroken over the fact that she is reportedly not coming back. I wasn't like in love with her, but I do think she had a lot of the makings of a good housewife. Again, like I just think that she found herself in this whole thing with Wendy, where it was confusing. It was hard to really figure out what was going on. It lasted for way too long. It was dragged out. And mm-hmm. like, I would have been totally good with her coming back for a second season, just getting one more shot, taking up you know, the seventh flute or whatever it is. But I wasn't heartbroken by it and I wasn't surprised. And the Jasmine brand reported it and they were the first ones to report Robin. So I'm guessing that it's true. Yeah, I don't know. I it's a little bit of a missed opportunity, though, I think. I think that she definitely has the profile of on paper, of a good housewife.
Yeah, I think she could have blossomed into something great, but we won't find out. I believe whatever the Jasmine brand says, I normally believe. So I think it might be true. Oh, God.
The last one on the cast is Karen, who to me, she was the one that clocked in the most throughout the season. Mm. You know, Mia, especially towards the end of the season. But Karen, to me, she was one that was trying to play ball. She was trying to bring people together. She was trying to do all these things. You know, she's kind of like the Dolores, where she plays the middle and she is the fence. But like, sometimes you need that fence, you know, especially when a cast is so divided. So, mm-hmm. you know, Karen, I'm just sort of like, I can't imagine Potomac without her. I guess that's Giselle, but I'm just like, Karen is Potomac in so many ways.
They're the two staples. Like those two, I feel like you almost have to have, like, it almost feels like an entirely different version, though. But like, it feels like early seasons, Portia and Kenya, like just
totally
that battling going on. And now like Portia and Kenya have like become besties in a way. Like, I'm excited to see that dynamic, but I like that their friendship is ever changing. Like, we never know what we're going to get out of those two. It's gotten, you know, to the pits of hell. And now they're like, for somehow they're on like actually great friendship. I don't know. It's refreshing to see. And it's good to see that like Giselle can actually like move forward with someone and not like hang on to it. So I'm excited to see that, but I'm all with Karen, and people be mad at me for saying this. I need them to harp on that DUI next season. Like, I need them to have a big, frank conversation about it. And I want that to happen in OC with Shannon. Like, do not let Shannon slide. You should not be out here drunk driving. So I need them to have these conversations with them. But my fear with Potomac, though, I think Shannon will get it a lot worse than Karen Huger ever will, because I think that somehow the fandom is going to say that her getting this DUI was Giselle's fault. Like, Giselle must have called her on the phone before she got in the car, and it's her fault. This is why it happened. Damn you, Robin. Like, what did y'all do to her? Like, she's going to kind of skate by, and I need Karen to like sit in that hot seat for a moment and actually like take that. Like, the way she wanted Robin to like take it with Juan, I need you to take that, because that's the headline for next season.
I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, one, we saw her kind of be at the forefront of that conversation with the tax mm-hmm. stuff in the early seasons. And mm-hmm. she was pretty great TV, honestly, to see her in the hot seat. It's kind of funny to watch her scramble sometimes and mm-hmm. watch her squirm a little bit. And I think the Giselle-Karen friendship dynamic is kind of just one of those great frenemy dynamic. It kind of reminds me also of like Kim and NeNe, honestly, of like, yeah, they go back and forth, they read each
other. That's probably more accurate, actually.
But they do have respect for one another, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I could see it going both ways next season, actually, where it's like, you know, Giselle could lead the charge about driving that conversation about the DUI. Mm-hmm. And then that means that her and Karen would not be on good terms anymore next season.
Right.
Or she could stand by her and the other women could try to comfort. But I agree that it should be brought up. It's interesting, though, to me that like that DUI happened and maybe just got buried by all the other big stuff that's happened in the Bravo world in the past couple weeks. But like, I feel like people were talking about the Karen DUI for like a day or two, and then it just sort of disappeared. You know, it's interesting.
It is. I think it's literally because of how many people like revere Karen as a housewife, because it's so easy to like talk bad about a housewife you hate, but it's way harder to talk about one that you actually love. And there are a few that like I love, like,
yeah. And I love Karen. I really do.
So a lot of people feel like that. And it's the same way with like me and Portia. Like, nobody's going to tell me anything about Portia. I don't care, Simon. You are lying on her. That is her house. Get out of it, Simon. I don't care. And you're not going to tell me anything about Portia. I love me some Portia Williams Guabadia. Okay. Like, that's me. That's my girl. And so I get it. But that's a conversation that needs to be had the same way Portia and Simon need to be had too.
Get those cameras up and running. Okay. Like, what is going on? There's so much happening. Please.
Oh my God.
When it comes to the friends of on this show, Kendrick, do you care about seeing Charisse? Do you care about seeing Kiana? Do you care about seeing, I know she wasn't a friend of this season technically, but like Jacqueline and Mia are back on good terms again and they have a lot of deep history. Could she bring more to the show? Do you care about any of them kind of staying in the realm? We sort of talked about Kiana earlier.
Yeah, Jacqueline, not so much. I think she just, we gave her a try, and I just think that like she's maybe a little too apprehensive and a little too shy for camera. So while I do think that like she probably has a lot of tea in her arsenal, I don't even know if we'd get it because, you know,
she can't just deliver it in the right way.
She can't deliver it exactly. This is going to be a hot topic, but I like Charisse, and I like Charisse especially because I feel like she activates Karen in a way that we don't see anyone else do. That. Like literally just the mere presence of Charisse annoys Karen so much. That's when I really like Karen the most, because I love like, you can tell like it's not just a social media is telling me to do this kind of like hatred. This is deep. It's deep rooted. And that's the dynamic I want to see on this show. So even if it's just for that alone, I wouldn't mind Charisse either back as a friend or I want to see the champagne room. I want to see that. Let me enter Charisse's life a little bit more. I don't mind her coming back in a more, you know, a bigger capacity. So I'm okay with Charisse coming back.
I think what's annoyed me about the Charisse of it all in the past couple of seasons is that it just been so inconsistent. She just like pops up and it feels like, I agree on that trip. Was that last season when Karen like got up from the table and screamed at Charisse?
Yes.
Like, that's going to get her to squirm. It really does. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you and I are plotting out season 9 of Potomac, it's Charisse comes in with the DUI information, brings it up for Karen. Giselle, maybe it complicates Giselle and Charisse because Giselle stands up for Karen in some capacity. I don't know. We're plotting it out. But I think you make a good point about Charisse, and it's we need some authentic tension on the show that isn't like. But I guess on the flip side, Karen doesn't love to engage with Charisse, and that's sort of been the problem on this past season. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
I think too, one of those two are so funny to me because I feel like Karen, I don't even know if like what this actually stems from, but I feel like the grind down, like who formed this group, plays a big part in it. And for I feel like Charisse, her big issue is that she doesn't get enough credit for being the one that like was the nucleus of this group, in the words of Mariah Hook. And I feel like Karen is like, well, you're old news now. The world knows me as the grind down. So I feel like that dynamic is always going to be really, really icky. But also one of the reasons I need Charisse on this show specifically, even if you just give her a one season contract, then do whatever you want to season 10. Charisse has been the one calling Karen the drunk old lady in Potomac for all these seasons. So if you're going to be saying, well, we got to talk about the DUI, I mean, it seems like this person knows more about it.
She's the natural person to bring up. Right. She's the natural person to bring it up. I would say that. You make an excellent point.
Bravo. I'm telling you. figure it out.
You better be listening to Gabbing with Gib, listening to us plotting out season 9 for you. I think that's the making of a good season. So I feel like, you know, I think you and I are both on the same page about, like, we kind of want the rest of the cast just to be filled out with, like, exciting, new, fresh faces that, like, we have not seen before. Like, they're out. The DMV is just, like, it's full of people that, like, are bougie. Yes. They're in that world. And, like they want to play ball. So let's find them. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Ballers wives, like, tech guys. Absolutely.
Bring totally. Them. And I think it's hard to get the politics world involved in shows like this. Yeah. But, like, there's enough else happening in DC that there's, like, I'm not worried. Like, I think that they need, even if we take a little bit of an extended break, I'm okay with it. Because I think that, As we talked about at the top of the show, Potomac had this golden era where that was, to me, they were the best show on Bravo.
Yes.
They were the funniest show on Bravo. Mm-hmm. They were the most exciting cast on Bravo. And I think that's still part of their DNA. I just think they got a little bit off track for a couple of years, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. All the housewives do. And they're hitting that bump that I think a lot of shows do hit.
Right. They were it was going almost too well for too long. Yeah, so it almost like they had to hit this kind of big rough patch that we weren't expecting. But now I think that once Giselle, because Giselle to me has always been the driver on this show.
For sure.
I agree. Once Robin has left and she kind of has to be like, okay, let me refocus, because like we've heard so much negativity about this show. I think her mess is going to be an all-time high, and it's going to be so enjoyable to watch, and people are going to hate it so much, people are going to love it so much. I think that's what we need to get back to. I think she's going to be so messy that she's going to activate or reactivate a messy ass Ashley, and then the two of them are just going to be so messy. I think that could be what causes the divide between her and Karen, because it's like, okay, you're just doing stuff. She's going to, oh, Giselle, you're just back to your old ways now, and that'll probably cause all kinds of mess between them. And then just my favorite kind of new housewife, you know, I love me a Jennifer Aiden type. I don't want a pseudo celebrity. I want someone that's just married, somebody uber rich, can just take the card, spin it how they want to, and has absolutely
a little bored,
has absolutely nothing to lose. So they can just do and say whatever the hell they want to, and they can pick a fight with anybody. Like, wasn't it a Jennifer that gave Jackie a knife as a gift because she stabbed her in the back or something? Like, give me the theatrics. Like, that's the mess I love. Like, give me three Jennifer Aidens on this show, and I think we're put that with Giselle and the other OGs, and I think we got it.
Then we're good.
We're back on track.
So, you know, I kind of love that we, as we've again discussed, is that the online conversation around Potomac can be so negative, it can be so divisive, it can be so like toxic to even wade into, but we've gotten to a point, Kendrick, where we're hopeful about the future. But we have a positive outlook on this. I think like you can have a bad season, and you know, there's kind of nowhere to go but up with Potomac right now. And
exactly,
so that's literally a horrible place to be.
Literally, you know? For the past month, Potomac was what you sat through so that you can enjoy Martha's Vineyard, because you just said you took that hour, you're like, okay, God, I gotta sit through this. And then you got the rewards of like seeing what Jasmine and Amir and my wild card Summer is up to. Like, you can get to see what those girlies are up to on a Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in her, oh my God. And I love me some villain Summer. Like, I love it all. My new personality is Shanice screaming out that I'm broke. Like, I wish I could have that as a ringtone. Like, I don't have any money. I'm like, same girl, same.
Shanice is giving me everything I need, honestly, on that show. She's the mess. She's the chaos. No, but I agree. I totally agree with you. Before we sign off, Kendrick, I did want to give you the floor, because I know that you're gonna miss Robin a lot. She was your girl. What are you gonna miss about Robin on Potomac? Do a little like eulogy, a little you know, tribute to Robin before we sign off.
Oh, thank you for this time. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
First of all, I love a dynamic duo, and it's not going to feel the same just people calling out Giselle solo instead of saying the green-eyed bandits. So that's going to already be a culture shock, because the green-eyed bandits have been so ingrained in the DNA of this show that it's hard to imagine it without them. I know they can do it, but it's going to be hard. I love, like, people that have watched this from the beginning know that, like, Robin can give some good TV. Them popping up on Ashley at that kangaroo restaurant to confront her about talking about Juan Dixon. The what's this show? Like, there have been some great moments in Robin's catalog. So I am going to miss my Potomac queen, Robin Dixon. I live in the Dixon district. I'm loving it. The kids, I'm going to miss Carter and Corey. I'm going to miss Juan Dixon not paying attention to anybody. I'm going to miss it all. And it just feels like the end of an era. And I don't know. I feel like I won't miss Juan as much as Michael Darby probably misses Juan, but I will miss the family all the same. So Robin, I salute you. Thank you for 8 great years of television. Thank you for constantly pissing off the internet, because when the internet's mad, I tend to laugh, because I mean, that's a good time for everyone. So thank you, Queen.
Well done. Well done. That was perfect. Well, Kendrick, thank you so much for doing this today. I had the best time chatting with you. I know, as you said, you haven't liked talking about Potomac, but I hope that you enjoyed today.
It was very fruitful in
this conversation.
Yes.
So where can people find more from you? Listen to your podcast. When are new episodes coming out? Do all the things before we sign off.
Absolutely. So right now I am Reality and Comics 2, but I literally within a week, maybe two, we're launching the rebrand. It's going to be a great new podcast. Still talking Bravo, but talking about a whole lot of other things too. It's going to be great. I can't wait to launch it. So just go ahead and subscribe to Reality and Comics 2 now, and then you'll see the new podcast just pop up on your feed. New cover, new energy. It's just, life is lifing right now, and I just have so much positive, amazing energy around me, and I'm ready to just give it to the world. So come subscribe, come listen with me. I don't take any of these shows seriously. I literally, my whole purpose in life is just to laugh. So if you want to laugh, come on over there.
Love all that energy, Kendrick. And I'm so excited to see the rebrand. Honestly, it's going to be amazing. Very happy for you. Thanks for doing this again, and we'll chat again soon.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.